Okay, I have, on the sheet, I have, there's a two-sided sheet. That's because I used to give a shear for an hour and a half in the school. So don't worry, I'm not going to, I don't think I'm going to get to both sides. The first thing I want to talk about is actually Roman numeral number 4. Roman numeral 4, I have the Pesukim talk about the me'il. The me'il was like an outer garment that the Kohen wore, and it gives a whole instructions, and it had bells on the bottom. Now, it also had, besides the bells, it also had bells made out of material. Now, obviously, I mean, how does a bell work? You have a bell, it's something metal, and inside there's something metal, and it bangs into it, and that creates a sound. But if you have a bell that any part of it is made out of material, then it's obviously not going to make, it's not going to make a sound. So the Gemara in Zvachim, did everyone have a sheet? Okay. The Gemara in Zvachim, Da Pechesim and Beis, the Gemara says, the Gemara at the beginning discusses the fact that right after the Korbanos, there's a description of the garments that the Kohanim wore. So the Gemara says, just like Korbanos atone, just like sacrifices atone, likewise the garments of the Kohanim atone. And the Gemara proceeds to show the different garments, what they atone for. So the Gemara says like this, in the bottom, Roman numeral 4, number 2. It says, Amar Rav Chanina, I'm sorry, Me'il Mechaper Aloshen Hara. The Me'il, this outer garment with the bells on it, atoned for Lashon Hara. Minayin, Amar Rav Chanina, Yavo Dover Shebekol, V'Yechaper Al Kol Hara. In other words, something with a that makes a sound atones for something, for the sounds. There's one thing I want to talk about in this area of Lashon Hara. Some of the Mefarshim comment by the fact that some part of this Me'il, which atones for Lashon Hara, makes noise. And some of the things do not make noise. And it's called a bell, and it's made out of material. This is how it's an important thing. We all are aware of the concept of Lashon Hara. Right? And Lashon Hara, you can't say, I will regal achas on one foot, I'm not going to try to give a shear on what Lashon Hara is. But we know that you cannot say bad things about people or whatever. However, there is an idea in Lashon Hara that sometimes there is an obligation to say things. Sometimes there is an obligation to say things. I have a true story. A guy that I know who's very nizer in Lashon Hara, so I never got the full story from him, but a guy that I know, a friend of mine, his mother met a girl. They're from the same city. The mother met a girl, and she was very impressed with the girl, whatever. And she fixed him up with her son. They got married during Shevar Brachas. He started to get the procedure for a get. During Shevar Brachas. And I remember once, right after he had given the divorce, and given the get, I was speaking to him. And he says to me, he says, Chaim, he says, you won't believe it. He said, I never knew the girl. My mother didn't know the girl. My mother met the girl, was very impressed. But I went to people who knew the girl from day one. And I said to two guys, I said, why didn't you tell me? And he says, one guy said, I don't want to speak Lashon Hara. And that's certainly not the case of Lashon Hara. That is no bigger to us than that. Okay. And he said, another guy said, this is unbelievable, he says, I thought that marriage would cure her. And this guy just went ballistic. He just, you know. So as much as there is an Isser of Lashon Hara, which is a tremendous Isser of Lashon Hara, sometimes it's incumbent upon us to say something. I remember one time, I was the co-founding Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Or David. A few years ago, I sort of retired. I still give shir there, still do a lot of things there, but it was too much COVID for me being Rosh Hashiva. Anyhow, so my partner and I, Rabbi Gronowski, we were looking for an executive director. And Rabbi Gronowski calls me from America. He says, "Hi, I found the guy. Perfect, perfect person." He said, "He's this and that." And I said, "Listen," I said, "you know, before we hire a guy, let's get the character references." He says, "No, you don't have to. This guy's really, I met the guy, I'm so impressed." I said, "Listen. I said, give me the character references. I happen to know a lot of people." So anyhow, he gave me a person that I know. Very, very distinguished. Very distinguished rabbi, whatever. I called him up. And I said to him, I said, "You know, we're looking for an executive director, and such and such a person applied, and you're a character reference." He said, "Rabbi Flom, don't you touch him with a 10-foot pole. He's and he's not a gentleman." That's a Toelis. That is Toelis, because, you know, and there's obviously, if you have a vendetta against somebody, right, then better don't say anything, because obviously if you dislike somebody, if you hate somebody, somebody did something personally to you, so it's already much harder to give an objective recommendation, or even an objective disqualification in a person. But over here, there's I always feel that it's important to know that just like we are mechuyev not to speak Lashon Hara, if something comes up, sometimes you have a chiyev to. I read an article in Reader's Digest once about somebody who was looking for a job, and this guy wanted to hire him, and this guy called for character references. He called a guy for character references, and he said the guy was very, very evasive. He said the guy had fired him, but a lawyer told the guy, don't tell people that you fired him, because then you're going to get, you know, he's going to sue you, blah, 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 blah. And it turned out that this guy had actually murdered the boss's daughter. I mean, after when he was in this new job, and when he got the job, the guy hired him, and he murdered daughter of one of the second in command there. I mean, I don't know about, you know, legal ramifications, but certainly if there is something that that has to be said, it has to be said. There's no, oh, it's Lashon Hara. Again, not saying it is an aver. Next thing I want to talk about, gentlemen, is Roman numeral 5. We're told, "Vatat tzavas bnei Yisrael v'yikra lech Hashem v'jayazot kasis lamor lalos ner tamid." We have numerous times in the Torah the word tamid, right? You have your korban tamid. You're right. Your ner tamid, right? They lit the menorah at night, and there's something they lit nightly. So why is it a ner tamid? See, the truth is, in a lot of shuls, they have what's called an ner tamid. And that light is taka on. I'm just looking at the headline here.
No.
Okay. Well, that's only on a yard sign. Right. Anyhow, but a ner tamid and a shul is taka on 24/7. But this certainly has to be lit every night. And even, let's say, the korban tamid. It's not constantly being shechted. What is the definition of the tamid? Tamid doesn't mean eternal. Tumid means, you wouldn't say perpetual, consistent. Right? This was lit every day. This carbon tumid was lit every day. Consistent. Gentlemen, the word masmid, you say that guy's a masmid in yeshiva, that's what a masmid is. A masmid is someone who is consistent. And I just want to tell you two things about masmidim. First of all, number one about a masmid is not someone who learns 24 hours a day. Because you learn 24 hours a day, after 2 days you probably wouldn't be a masmid anymore, right? I would imagine so, right? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, if you get a kettle of water and you put it on a fire, turn it on for a few minutes, you have boiling water. But if you stand there turning the fire on and off and on and off and on and off, it doesn't work. That is, right, that's the first thing. Second of all, the most important thing about a masmid, again, no one can learn 24 hours a day, no one can learn 20 hours a day. What your cutoff point, that's negotiable. Every person according to their capabilities. But a masmid is someone who utilizes 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in the hour. That's what a masmid is. Right? And it's someone who does it consistently. I went to the guy who learned in Or David. He left Or David. Well, the whole reason. And I saw him one afternoon. In town. And I said to him, and he was another yeshiva, I said, do you have Seder now? He said, I learned the whole night last night. I said, yeah, but don't you have Seder now? He said, well, Rabbi, I learned a whole night last night. You know, and there's like, you know, there's a famous expression, you know, a guy once wanted to learn all night, but he wasn't sure if he'd learn all night, he wouldn't be able to wake up for davening in the morning. So his Rebbe said to him, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish, v'atzas Hashem hi takum. You know, the same davening every day. There are many thoughts of man, right? And the plan of Hashem is, well, takum means the plan of Hashem will last, right? But he says, he translated as Hashem, the eight of Hashem is takum, get up. Anyhow, so a masmid, as I say, a masmid is someone who consistently learns. Someone who learns 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. That's what Hasmada is. I want to go into another point. I know I touched upon it one day, I guess last week, but now it's a little more in depth. On the second side, on side two, it says the avnate mechaper al hirhor alev. The avnate, that's the belt that they wore, atoned for hirhor alev. Hirhor alev means thoughts, right? You'd say like it's bad thoughts or something that a person had. This is an amazing chazal. It's a Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara says, I have it over here, on the top line of this Rabbeinu Bachya, Hirhure Avera Kushin Me Avera. Did you ever hear this phrase? That Hirhure, the thoughts of the Avera, is worse than the Avera. It's Kushin Me Avera. What does that mean? Truth is, there are many... A lot of different mafarshim discuss what that means, because obviously, like, if I want to rob somebody, that's probably not as bad as robbing somebody. So what does it mean? Here who are avera, the thoughts of avera are cushion avera, more difficult than the avera. This goes back to something, I mentioned it a couple of days, last week. Remember I mentioned to you guys that my mother was on a talk show. It was on a television show. And I'm just for those who weren't here that the purpose of the you got the points, there are three people on a team, and the most players on a team that got the same answer, they got the points. So what they did was, they sat down, she was from Hillel Academy, it was like for non-profit organizations, it was schools and churches, whatever. So my mother and the other ladies on the team planned strategies. None of the questions were hard. Like, it wasn't like, it was a question like, what's your favorite number? What's your favorite color? So if you have no strategy, well, one person can say one, 1,000, you know, a million, right? Red's your favorite color, red, blue, right? So they had a strategy. My mother told me, I think for the first six shows, every question that the guy asked, they had asked themselves already. I was in second or third grade, they let me watch it, it was just unbelievable. They were on the show, Hillel Academy was on the show till the show went off the air. Because, no, it's just like an unbelievable thing. I told you, my mother said if they had, let's say if they asked a number, so say the lowest number possible. So when the guy asked the question, what's your favorite number? So, you know, everyone writes down the answer. So the ladies and other team voters, 327. Well, who you know, 16, right? Every lady from the lottery, one. You know, and then they ask, what's your favorite color? Everyone, red. Like, everyone had, every, it's unbelievable. You know, I don't know if you guys, if you follow football. Anybody follow football? Okay, I follow. I don't really follow football anymore. It's just I happen to be from Pittsburgh, and I've happened to be in America in the last few weeks, so I happen to have, anyhow, that means the Steelers won the Super Bowl. What happens if you ever watch a football game? See, it's different when you watch a professional football game than when you play football when you're a little kid, right? When you're a little kid, you play football, and the guy, quarterback gets the ball, and everyone starts running, and everyone says, me, somebody, everyone says, this is me, right now, I'm, you know? And then afterwards, they say, oh, yeah, you're in the clear, and then throws the ball, right? In professional football, that's what happens. In professional football, the quarterback says, go down to the 20-yard line, cut left, and the ball will be there. Right? That's what happens, right? You have a strategy. Right? Everything is strategy. Right? Things just don't happen by themselves. You have a strategy. Right? So, I mentioned when last week that I told my guys, my Talmidim, I used to tell my Talmidim and Musser, think of a situation that you regret. Right, and everyone says, "Oh yeah, I always forget that when I get angry, I curse." So I always say to you guys, I said to the Talmidim, "Okay, picture what gets you angry." Oh, guys, at the end, I'm getting knocked down in a football game. I said, good, 20 times, right? Picture a guy knocked down and say, "Mary Poppins," right? And said it right, and I told it, can't call you. I was at a football game, a guy got knocked down, I was in here, Mary Poppins, you know, and that's good, because you know, he practiced, right? That's how, gentlemen, all you guys are learning yeshiva now, Baruch Hashem. Does it ever happen that, I mean, I'm nobody's mashgiach, I don't know what goes on here, right? What time is davening in the morning?
7:15.
7:15, okay? So you wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, and the little voice says, one more minute, right? And what happens? Next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock. Oh, hey, where's davening go? Okay, it happens. The next day, alarm clock goes off, 7 o'clock. The little guy goes, one more minute. What happens? 8 o'clock. Now, after, you know, it's already almost Pesach, you know, like, yeah, you should learn, you know? So what does that, it's almost 4, right? So what does that mean? If I'm failing this every time, I should say, before I go to sleep, I work out that strategy. The next time the little guy says, one more minute, you say, right? Another example, right? We come into Seder, right? I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a fantastic day of learning. And what happens? I know that there's always somebody who says to me, oh, do you know what the weather's going to be? And then you say, yes. And the next thing you know, it's a half an hour later, right? So what do you do? You have to have, just picture it in advance. The guys, right, having 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, and saying, I want to cut this out. You plan in advance what I'm going to answer. Right? Or no matter what it is. If something that you're doing is, you know, turns out wrong, and turns out you regret it, right, and it happens more than once, you got to say to yourself, let me picture the situation in advance, and I'll know what to do, right? The same thing is true in the opposite. If I have an opportunity, let's say a person wants to steal, and there's something and he goes to steal it, right? That's not the same as if the guy planned in his mind and he went over that 100 times, right? And as he planned out the robbery, whatever it is, he does all the thinking and the planning, right? Then when it happens, it goes like that. Because he's done all the steps and he's thought, well, he's every possible thing that can go wrong, he's thought of already. And I think that's pshat, kashya here, hurray, avera, me avera. That's why the thinking about the Torah is so bad. Because you can perfect that sin just by sitting here. Right? Just by sitting here without doing anything else, you perfected that sin. Right? Of course, it's worse to steal than to think about the stealing. But the reason that Chazal say, I think, that kasha hirura v'ira is because you can perfect it, and you, right? And not only that, gentlemen, in your own mind, you're already a ganav. You haven't near stolen, but in your own mind, you've stolen 1,000 times, right? So this is pshat kasha hirura, I think, kasha hirura v'ira. And we could use this for good. Plan that strategy. Whatever it is that we're doing that is our weakness, plan in advance. How am I going to get to that situation and be victorious? Gentlemen, each and every one of us, don't we all have times when we meet some relatives, right? And you know that you meet this relative. You know, and this relative is, I don't know what he is. And after you leave, you say, gee, I wish I would have said this and this to the person. So you know you do. Before you meet the person, you try to play role. What's it called? Role play. Role play. And you try to figure out what's going on in advance, right? I tell you the truth. As a Rebbe, one of the biggest motivations I have in learning sometimes, I used to give a halacha class. I do not like teaching halacha. I've been offered jobs from places, and I do not like teaching halacha. You know Rabbi Berkowitz? You know Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz? He used to, anyhow, so I used to go to him and whatever, and he even told people, oh, Rabbi Flom, give up. I said, I don't want, but anyhow, so 1 year I was in a seminary, and they needed me, and I taught a halacha class. After the first day of class, then every time I went, I was preparing my class at night, I would say, what is Tzivia Abramoff going to ask me tomorrow? I used to dread going to sleep at night until I figured out the question that she was going to ask about the class. Because, and that's what I had to do. It was as much as I was prepared for the class, if I thought, I said, oh no, she's not going to let me get away with that. Right? Right? And that's what you have to do. When you go into a situation, gentlemen, it happens, right? Where you say, oh, I wish I would have said that. Before you go into the situation, try to think, right? You have a cousin who's a conservative rabbi, right? So when you're going to meet him, and he tells you, blah, 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 blah. And after you say, my gosh, I should have told him this. So what you do is the next time, before you go there, try to think what you're going to answer. And this way, I want to answer. Right? Not just, gentlemen, strategy. I don't care if you're playing football. I don't care if you're on a television game. Your midos, your learning, everything that we do. The way you win is by having a strategy. You know, the Yetzer Hara works overtime, right? The Yetzer Hara works 24/7, right? We think that, oh, I'm going to get up and do a minute. How many times, when I say to him, how many times do you want to do a mitzvah and it just doesn't happen? I tell you, I always, whenever I go any place, whenever I drive any place, I always ask people if they need rides. That's my big thing. I always go to bus stops, you know, I offer people rides. One time I was walking out of my house, I had the garbage bag in my hand, and I was going up to the garbage can, and in those days, it was... You see them here. Sometimes next to some buildings, they have these little stone booths, and inside there used to be garbage bags. No, they don't have it anymore. Now they have these dumpsters. The green dumpsters.
Oh, the protest burning thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the story. Right? But the dumpsters, you know, used to be, Americans used to be amazed. Used to be, the garbage trucks used to pick up the dumpsters, drive them, dump them and bring them back. Now, yeah, I'm not joking. Now what they do is now they have the arms to get up and they go, whoop, and you know, and the garbage goes out. But it used to be they used to take the dumpsters away. Anyhow, so I walked out of my building and I had to go down like to the next building to take out the garbage. I had the garbage in my hand. And I went to, I was looking at the bus, and I was saying, oh, I'm going to get, there are people waiting for the bus, I'll pick up people, go to the garbage can dumpster, put it in. Bus was there, took away all my people. Ever since then, whenever I left my house, as I walked by my car, I put the garbage down. I went to the bus stop, I said, I don't need a ride, and then I ran back, and by the time they got the car, I threw out the garbage. Why? Because I saw it bothered me. Because I wanted to go pick up the people, and the garbage truck, and the bus stole them all. So, okay, so there's an expression in English. There's an expression in English. If somebody does something bad to you, shame on him. If they do it twice, shame on you. Right? In other words, we should be prepared all the time. But especially after it happens once, shame on you if you let it happen again. If a person on a regular basis is mevatel the seder, or a person doesn't ever daven, whatever it is, or you say, oh, I wish I would have. Don't just say, I wish I would have. Plan it in your mind. Think in your mind that situation and know what you're going to say. Know what you're going to do. And then, when it happens, it'll work. Okay, gentlemen, Sunday night, I'm going to my last class, it'll be on Megillas Esther again. Okay, thank you very much. These sheets were not...